This year, the National Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has changed its Oscar schedule. Instead of late March, the Academy Awards ceremonies take place next Sunday evening, February 29th. This music by Elliot Goldenthal is from last year's Oscar-winning movie score, Frida. The early curtain call also means our annual visit with our resident film music buff, Andy Trudeau, has been moved up, and he's here now to take us through the nominees for Best Original Score. Welcome back, Andy.
Hello, Leanne. I wanted to start with a little tip of the hat to someone who's not joining us this year for the first time.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, and who's hot, who's not, and it's like, who's not there?
Who's not there? John Williams.
I find this incredible because we have talked about him so much.
Nixon was the first score of his we talked about. Last year was Catch Me If You Can. He was with us at least one score every year we've done this.
So,
as best I can tell, going to his website, he didn't write anything in 2003. No film music.
But is he working on anything that you know?
Oh, you bet. Harry Potter, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and at least another Spielberg project. So I suspect we'll be talking about him next year.
Yeah, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So.
Right.
All right, no John Williams this year. Next week, we're going to hear some of Thomas Newman's music for Finding Nemo and Howard Shore's soundtrack for The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. So I know there are five nominations. What does that leave us with today?
We're going to start with Gabriel Yared's score for Cold Mountain, which was based on the novel set during the American Civil War. This is the first of two that we'll be talking about that represent established director-composer relationships. He's worked with director Anthony Minghella on two other films that we have talked about here, English Patient, which won an Oscar, and The Talented Mr. Ripley. I have to say, Yared is not well served by this soundtrack. Soundtracks are out to make money. Sony brought in T-Bone Burnett to try to duplicate the success of O Brother, Where Art Thou? And as a result of a 45-minute score, we have 15 minutes to deal with on this soundtrack. I think it was interesting, in one interview, Yared said he's tired of being typecast as a romantic, lyric, sad composer. Yet the four cues we've got are all romantic, lyric, and sad. So we'll work with what we have. He's really playing the characters, not the period, although there is a nod or two in that direction. One of the characters, Ada, plays the piano on the screen, and for her he wrote, I think, an homage to an American parlor song. I like it. You'll hear it's got that little fussy ornamentation, a sad, wistful melody, and is nodding towards the 19th century. Dreamy, pensive.
As though it's even being played in a parlor.
And builds to that little... So he's not mimicking the style here. He's within his own style, making a nod. And that brought me to a sense. There's something, as an old Star Trekker, I call the Borg footprint. You remember the episode in which they had to get this little signature of this arch-villainy race that they had to deal with.
Right.
Well, it's the same case. When you watch a film and the credits come up, you have about a minute and a half to guess who's the composer. And a lot of them have characteristic gestures or ways they make a sound or an emphasis that, to my ears, tells me this is who it is.
So Gabriel Yared does that. He's done it in other films.
Well, I think he does. I'm not as familiar with him as I am with others because he hasn't been that popular over here. But I went back to The English Patient. You can agree with me or disagree, but listen to this cue. This is from The English Patient. This one starts with slow, spread-out notes, which he then contrasts with a long, almost seamless melody. A lot of space between the notes. So he's layering these two, those slow drawn-out notes and the long melody. Now listen to this cue from Cold Mountain. It's going to start with that long, seamless melody, but then he's going to put those notes on top of it. I think it's a signature. I think he's signing his name here. Thank you. little suggestion of a bell there, I think. Now, one point in the three scores we're talking about today that I found really fascinating was the way that all of them have an obligation, because of the picture, I believe, to evoke something of local color. But instead of going for an overt statement, they really meld in very carefully into the texture of what they're doing. You've now heard this cue from Cold Mountain. You're going to hear those motifs again, the drawn-out notes, the long line underneath, to which he's going to add a little bit of a mountain fiddle, just to suggest the setting of this story. There it is. So he's got the notes going. He's got the long framework there. Just suggesting it.
Andy Trudeau is talking about music by Gabriel Yared from Cold Mountain. I actually should mention that there are two songs from this picture that are in the running for the Best Original Song. It's Scarlet Tide by T-Bone Burnett and Elvis Costello, and You Will Be My Ain True Love. Ain True Love by Sting. Cold Mountain is one of five soundtracks nominated this year in the Oscar category of Best Original Score. Also nominated is the Tim Burton film Big Fish with music by Danny Elfman, which is really no surprise, right, for those who know Burton's work.
Oh, these two are joined at the hip. They've collaborated on at least 10 films together, so you really have to believe there is a common sense of purpose between these two. I really like the way Elfman's come into his own. When he first started, he was interesting because he was so overt in his homages that he would pay to various great film composers. He has since really established his own style, his own sense of who he is, and now the scores are very Elfman-like. This film score is very cartoon-like in the way it jumps from one mood to another, from cue to cue. We had just heard how Yared had mixed that little bit of country fiddle. Listen to this cue, and you're going to hear a couple of things. You're going to hear that wonderful, broad-ranging Elfman imagination, and you're going to hear him sliding in a little bit of a bluegrass feeling, which fits some of the setting here. And he's going to take us in places. This is something else he does. You're going to start in one part of the world, you're going to end in the other. Building anticipation here. Now listen to how he uses the fiddle in this section.
Almost dance-like.
Yes. He's going to start pouring in layer after layer, and it's going to become Far Eastern almost to my ears. What a great ear.
Celtic feel.
Yes. This is Elfman. I really admire the breadth this man has of imagination. Listening for that Borg footprint of Elfman, he's often associated with these costume epics, so there's a lot of fast music that he does. Listen to the next cue. I think you've seen enough of the films, especially the Tim Burton Elfman, that you're going to start to say, oh yeah, Danny Elfman. When you listen to this cue, which comes from Big Fish, think Men in Black.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All those little gear shifts he does with the rhythms. Coming up, staccato chorus, another sound that he uses.
Edward Scissorhands almost kind of.
Danny Elfman. I love the way he builds to a big galumping theme here. Wonderful use of the instruments. Again, you can just almost hear that mind working. This score does call for a tender tune on occasion, and it's to Elfman's credit he provides it in this cue, which is called Sanders' Theme. Your classical music listeners will go, oh, foray, no? I think the requisite tenderness. But since he's Elfman, he's going to take us off into fantasy now.
We've been listening to music by Danny Elfman from the movie Big Fish. It's one of five scores nominated this year for an Oscar as Best Original Score. Andy Trudeau, once again, is our guide. And we have one more for today. And this is a composer who has made regular appearances during our conversations over the years.
James Horner. But unlike the first two films we've talked about, which both represented long-time or successful composer-director relationships, this is a first-time director with a veteran composer. We have talked about his Titanic, A Beautiful Mind, Apollo 13. There's a feeling of tragedy that really pervades this score, and I'm suspecting that it melds very carefully with the film, but when you pull that out and then listen to it as music, I found it a bit challenging in places. I'm going to say something I don't think I've ever thought I would be saying, but I have to give a lot of credit to James Horner.
Unlike the other times we've spoken.
that's right. He's really set himself a creative challenge here. He has limited his palette to strings, electronics used with discretion, and a little bit of percussion. All right, good for him, and I'm glad he's trying to do that. There's no big tune here, but there's a rising, falling motif that I think really establishes the sense of the film and informs a lot of the score. And at the end of this little sequence, you're going to hear one of those little footprints I've talked about. He has this tendency, whenever there's a point he wants to make, it's a bell with resonating keyboards around it. You'll hear that here. Now listen to the space he leaves here. Sound is both the making of notes and the absence of notes, and good composers know how to use both of that. Now he'll extend the tune out a little bit. This is a score that takes its time getting to where it's going. There we go. You've heard that one before.
Titanic is the one I remember. Right? Oh. No, Apollo 13.
Apollo 13, yeah. One thing I think Horner's getting really good at doing is blending instruments and electronics. You know, there was a time this seemed to be the great challenge for composing, but film composers do it all the time now. The good ones recognize there are things instruments can do that electronics can't, and vice versa, and I think use them that way. We've also, in the last two scores we've listened to, you've heard how they've added a little bit of local color. Well, here, one of the major characters is Iranian, and to get a little bit of the feeling of that culture, he'll put in a little percussive effects, especially with a light little cymbal sound. Not overtly, but again subtly, I think, suggesting that. So you're going to hear that rising, falling motif and those percussion effects and the electronics in this cue. Hear that rising, falling? It's there, in the electronics this time, not the strings. Just gently painting in that cultural backdrop to this story. Now, one Horner problem is his penchant for recycling, and this is recycling gestures or sequences that he's used in other films. For the most part, he's trying really hard to put new challenges in front of himself here, but he falls off the wagon, okay? In this next sequence, I think you're going to hear, certainly the Horner fans will, a little bit of the string colorings that reminded me of Sneakers, and then some of the really high string sounds that I remember from Clear and Present Danger. Notice how he's using the piano here for that pulse, that bell-like pulse. We've been here before. Now it'll take us up to those high string sonorities.
Andy Trudeau has been talking about music by James Horner. His House of Sand and Fog is among the five scores nominated this year for an Oscar as Best Original Score. Before that, we heard selections from two other nominated scores, Big Fish by Danny Elfman and Cold Mountain by Gabriel Yared, which leaves us two for next week. Remind us?
Yes, and I think we're going to have something for all your listeners. If they got short attention spans, we've got Thomas Newman, Finding Nemo. And if they have long attention spans, Howard Shore, Return of the Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
And we'll also remind people that you're going to give us your favorite nominated score. Andy Trudeau is a manager for NPR's programming, and he's also a Weekend Edition's film music buff. Andy, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here, Leanne.
For more on film music and to hear some samples from this year's nominees, visit our website at npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.